Dear Lord, faithful God, let your voice speak through me today here to these your children. I'd like to start out this sermon with a short poem that I wrote a few days ago, thinking on the scripture passages. It's entitled First Blush. Little pokes of color, emerald barren sticks of brown, dots cluster, ends bunched with blisters of bloom. Suddenly taken while walking to my bus stop. Suddenly taken my attention to red maple bough. Craggy, ori, snow embattled, half dying, foot in the grave, red maple, survived another season of sleet and salt, blizzards and barrenness, waiting for light and winds to shift, for showers and sunshine to dapple wise old wrinkled skin bark, an encore of hope after the hush of winter. It is sometimes hard to notice the spring when the change is so very subtle as it is here in Florida. The transformation fails to catch the eye. It is so much more drastic when emptiness explodes into efflorescent life and we are left to marvel at the suddenness of the new season and the awesome providence of God and creation we often take for granted in our daily lives. Transplanted to Boston, the extreme north of our country, a native southerner, a Florida boy, has ample opportunity to marvel and ponder the peculiarities of perception and wonder at how noticing the natural world shapes the mind and the life of faith. After the darkness and drear of the shortened days of winter, the first buds of spring come with quickness and fervor. Before you know it, you look around and everywhere your eyes fall is a fireworks show of floral arrangements created by the hand of Almighty God. Color is everywhere. Lime leaves first touching limbs, canary coronas unfurling, violet lips topping flowing stalks, crimson snaps perching on stems, and tangerine bubbles dotting the sides of roads or beds, flower beds in front of homes. Daffodils sprout from the sodden ground as snows melt. Hardwood leaves, almost neon green, blade out into the enriching sunlight. The heart lightens. The soul rejoices. One feels young again, no matter how many years one has been walking on the earth. The season of passionate endeavors returns. This is the time of frolicking, the time when singing has come, the time when vines are in blossom, they give forth fragrance. The newness of life, the young and their vitality enter into our circumscribed world and reawaken us from our slumber. We are all given a new lease on life from our contact with them. We have the chance anew to aspire to be as we always wanted to be. We cut away the deadwood, the atrophied limbs of the barren times, and we are youthful once more and ready for our quest to live as God would have us live, to honor God before all others, and to pledge ourselves and our lives to our service to God's work in the world. The season of walking home after the long and dreary days and the failing light or utter darkness is over, because flowers appear on the earth and the fig tree puts forth its figs. Can't you feel the melody of the turtle dove vibrating the expectant air? The youth are harbingers of springtime rebirth in the religious and social worlds of the church. If we are open to the gifts that they bring, the youthful members of our congregation breathe into our community the blissful breezes of spring. They are like the new leaves on old limbs, first touched by April showers, which pick up our spirits and move us forward and onward. We as a church benefit from the interaction of young and old, the irreverent and the wise, the energetic and the well-measured. Without the gifts of all, we all would languish and eventually die. In our communal life, the nowness of this moment, this very moment, the moment when the world is reborn in a rush of color and tumult, is ever and always happening. Even when the snow makes us forget about it. We are baptized over and over in life-giving waters so long as young women and men walk through our doors. Doors that are open to the real life tragedies of the world. We cannot help but keep these doors open. We cannot help but love the young women and men who walk through them. Were we not the same energetic and seeking lovers of wisdom not so long ago? Did we not need the love of our community and the guidance of its mentors? Did we not have the vim and vigor of endless vitality and perspective jolting impetuosity to offer in return? Our future was springing into being during those very moments, just as theirs is, as we sit here sharing these words in this blessed place. This place made holy and blessed by our bearing witness to each other and to each other's lives and the truth of what we share together. We share our faith in Christ. We believed that Christ Jesus transforms lives. We know from our own experience, as well as from our scriptures, that Christ overcomes death. We are made into one body by our willingness to listen for the word of God and the story of a stranger, a friend, a loved one that does not deny the suffering of life, but knows that suffering and death do not have the final word. Because resurrection reconfigures the world by destroying death. Although we pray with a million words, only one voice is heard. This one voice of our hearts asks God for God's peace and cuts through the infernal mists of self-delusion. And God honors that call, which has honored God by answering. This is a place that has turned around the lives of countless youth through programs designed to welcome all kinds of young people into its communal life. ASP, MYF, Sunlight, the various sports ministries, just to name a few that come to mind, gives us youth food to outlast the hard times and the lean years we all spend wandering the wasteland of life. Stuck. We flounder pursuing self-interest to the exclusion of all others, and without the nourishment of lessons well learned in our upbringing, we would surely starve far before coming back to the faith of our mothers and fathers. It is faith without which we cannot truly live. But though the seed lies dormant a little while, the shoots send forth their tendrils searching for the light coming from the Father of lights, before death can overcome us. The word of truth, after its long period of gestation, bears the fruit of faith and humble service. I can tell you all probably already know, what this faith has done for me. It has taught me that this is not about me alone. I was angry as a young man, and I had my reasons, very good reasons, I might add. I'd been mistreated at an early age by someone entrusted with my care, and I was extremely distrustful of authority figures, and I would say defensively aggressive. I always felt misunderstood, partly because I couldn't really adequately express my sentiments of injustice. I thought maybe that I was a bad seed, and I deserved what had happened to me. After middle school, I had caused so much trouble that my parents suspected I wouldn't make it to high school graduation. and moved me to PK Young. When I was arrested for the second time after my freshman year, they considered sending me to the sheriff's boys' ranch. Meanwhile, while all this was happening, they required me to attend church service and at least two other activities a week here at Trinity. Because of the relationships I formed with my peers and my elders here at Trinity, and because I actually found that I enjoyed service, which I discovered while completing my sentencing, through God's grace, I somehow outlasted the worst of the chaotic years that I suffered through. Numerous people here, countless people, people who are out here in the congregation today, people, look around, you are the people, loved me through the worst of the bad times. When I was not so nice a person to deal with, when I was murdered to deal with, in fact. And today I'm here to thank you all, for it takes the whole of a congregation, the whole of a church community, to raise and support a minister, to raise and support all of our youth. Though some of the rough edges remain, now at least I know and act as if my life is not just for me alone. Hearing God's call, I have tried to answer, saying, "Send me, Lord. I will go where you have need of me." Every generous act of giving, everyone with every perfect gift, is from above. Everything is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. We receive and we give with open hands. We listen and we speak with open hearts. We watch and we witness with open eyes. Shall we share the bountiful providence with which God has endowed this family with its children? We always have a choice to welcome the newcomers and upstarts, though they may change life as we know it, though they may rock the boat. Shall we hold on to how this place was in the past, word for word, detail for detail, or shall we, let's see if I can do this right, DJ, organically. Amen. Shall we organically refit tradition to our common needs as we together come to know those needs as they arise? With each upcoming generation, there is a question that is ceaselessly asked of us as Christians. How we respond with both word and deed determines the truth of our faith. What does your message mean for me? What does the gospel do for me? How does this good news change my life? Do we answer? Do all of us answer? Ah, but it's not about you alone. Are we answering that religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to care for orphans and widows in their distress? Do we challenge our best and brightest to put their talents to use in the service of the beggar, the blind, the pauper, and the outcast? Do our responses resemble or echo Christ's? So long as we demand service to the least of these, both of ourselves and of our children, and let our actions herald the good news of our faith, we will equip generations of youth to respond to the future that is always coming, coming and even now arrived. They will meet the demands that are already confronting us as Christians in a world imperiled by violence done to people on every continent, and also to the natural world that has sustained us from time immemorial. Discharging this, our duty in the present, will secure our future from the angst and the uncertainty of the unknown. After all, what can we do but offer the gifts that we have received with the same open hand into which God put them? What can we do but live faithfully, both young and old, into the future, which is now, even now, beating down our doors? Amen.